Here today, we are going to look at a nation and a people whose very existence tells us God and the Bible can be trusted. God does care about this world. Who is this nation? We're going to look at the story of the State of Israel. For more than 70 years, the presence of the Jewish state in the Middle East is a sign that God cares and is involved. To understand the State of Israel is to understand the grace of God. Join us on Beyond Today as we discuss God's enduring love for Israel. Christ said to the people listening to one of his sermons that they needed to discern this time. He said they were able to look up at the sky and to see a cloud rise out of the west, and they would say, a shower's coming. And if the south wind would blow, it's going to be hot. But the same people had trouble discerning exactly who he, Jesus, was, as he taught them, and they could not act upon the message of the gospel that he taught. How about you? Can you discern your time? Our time. Our time in prophecy. Can you discern today's world with all the many events that are shaping our lives? Let me show you how, by looking at a part of the world that we regularly hear about. Let's look at the State of Israel. This tiny nation in the Middle East plays a significant role in world affairs. The State of Israel is 70 years old, having been created in May of 1948 and recognized by the United Nations. Israel lives in a tough Middle Eastern neighborhood. They are continually forced to defend their existence to survive. However, in spite of 70 years of hostility, Israel has developed a vibrant and prosperous society. Its people make positive, life-enhancing contributions to the world in many critical areas, such as technology, medicine, education, and humanitarian efforts. So, why does Israel struggle against continual danger? And why must it defend itself before the court of world nations? Why all the antagonism and the hatred? Well, if we are to understand this paradox of hostility and blessing surrounding the State of Israel, we must look to the Bible for the story. It is in Scripture where we see the backstory of Israel's origin. Only in the Bible do we find the divine purpose for Israel's existence, both in the ancient world and as a modern nation today. God had a purpose for Israel then, and God has a purpose for Israel today. To understand Israel is to understand the grace of God. Let me repeat that. To understand Israel is to understand the grace of God. Now let's understand how the story of Israel began. It's found in the Bible. The ancient nation of Israel was a nation composed of descendants of the 12 sons of the man that we know as Jacob. Now Jacob was the son of Isaac, and Isaac was the son of Abraham. And Abraham, of course, he is the father of the faithful people, all faithful people for that matter, who seek after the God of creation. Looking at Jacob, it's an interesting story. Any man who had 12 sons makes for a very interesting story, and Jacob was no exception. The book of Genesis tells Jacob's story. His life involves every element of a good story. It has betrayal, revenge, children by multiple wives and concubines. It's all there, the good and the bad. For purposes here, the story told about Jacob, the one where he wrestled all night with a being who can only be God, is perhaps the most important. At the break of day in that struggle, God gives Jacob a new name, Israel. Israel means Prince of God. It's this name, Israel, which is put upon the nation that rises from the 12 sons of Jacob. Israel, or Jacob, concludes his life in Egypt, with his sons as they escape a severe famine. Years pass, and the descendants of Abraham come out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. Now, you know this story, this Exodus story. It's well known by Bible students. God remembers the promise that he made to Abraham, a promise that Abraham's descendants would be strangers and servants in a land not theirs. The Egyptian captivity lasted many generations until God delivered them from slavery and brought them back to the land that he promised to their fathers, the land known today as Israel. As God had made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel regarding the land, so he also made a covenant with those people called the children of Israel, who became the nation of Israel. Now, this covenant, an agreement between God and the people, is at the heart of the story of the state of Israel today at the age of 70 years of existence. Israel, the nation, was to become a model citizenry for all others. You see, it was God's intent for Israel to become a nation proving his way of life. His laws and his judgments, God knew, could produce a culture of peace and prosperity. Let's go to Scripture and notice how God said this. He said to them at one point, "You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Israel, we find, had a once-in-eternity opportunity with God. They were given a special land to be a special people. It goes on, "The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out and redeemed you from bondage." What we find here is that God had a deep spiritual love for the nation of Israel. This love, I say again, is at the heart of this story. God promised Abraham his family would grow into a nation and inherit promises lasting for generations, far beyond his day, into the modern world, into today's world. Let's notice again what the Scripture tells us. "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." God is faithful. He keeps his agreements for 1,000 generations, it tells us. Now, here's a key to understanding why the modern state of Israel sits in the same geographical spot as ancient Israel. The Jewish state is a continuation of the people with whom God made this covenant of love and grace. And this covenant, this agreement, it's very much like a marriage agreement. You see, God did enter a marriage covenant with one nation above all others, the nation of Israel that we read about in the Bible. Now, this is something you don't read about in history books. It's not understood by a modern political analyst who writes vast volumes of books about the modern politics and the history of the state of Israel and its role among the other Arab states. But this marriage contract, it's at the heart of understanding the importance of today's state of Israel after 70 years of survival and the controversies over and within Jerusalem, its capital. Let me take you into a passage of the Bible that's profound. It reveals the deep love and passion that God has for Israel. You see, this love started thousands of years ago, and it continues to this day. You cannot understand the critical importance of the state of Israel in today's world without grasping this essential part of the story. It's a love story, and not just for one people, but for all peoples and for all nations. And it's also a sign that God is faithful to all of his promises for all mankind. Let's go to Ezekiel 16. This chapter gives the narrative. Through the prophet, God speaks to Jerusalem, which is the heartbeat of the nation. It says, on the day that you were born, you were not washed in water, nor wrapped in proper clothing. God goes on to say, no, I pitied you to care for you, to have compassion on you. You were thrown out into the open field to die on the day that you were born. Now we look at this verse and we can understand that through Abraham's life. You see, Abraham had no permanent home. He wandered all over. When his wife Sarah died, he had to go purchase a burial spot from his neighbors. Jacob took his family into Egypt to find food to survive, and his descendants became slaves, making mud bricks for Pharaoh. No one but God was watching over the fortunes of the children of Israel. Going back to Ezekiel, God says this, I passed by you and saw you struggling in your misery. I said to you, live. Grow up like a plant in the field. And you did. You grew tall and matured as a beautiful woman with flowing hair. But you were vulnerable, fragile, and exposed. God delivered Israel from Egyptian slavery, and he brought them into the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. After many years, as a small confederation of tribes, the fledgling nation grew into a significant nation under its best kings, David and his son Solomon. Israel's location acted as a stabilizing power among other nations, such as Egypt, Assyria, and Media, keeping those powers from dominating the region. While Israel remained as a strong nation, it served God's purpose in that day. Going back to Ezekiel, here's how God describes this time. He said, I took care of you, dressed you, and protected you. I promised you my love and entered a covenant of marriage with you. I dressed you in a wonderful wardrobe of expensive clothing and jewelry, emerald rings, sapphire earrings, and a diamond tiara. You were absolutely stunning, becoming world famous. But you see, this didn't last. Israel didn't live up to its part of the agreement. Israel did not keep the laws of God. They wound up adopting the pagan forms of worship from their neighboring nations, and they abandoned God, the true and the ultimate source of their wealth, their security, and their standing among the nations. God describes that action, that betrayal, as adultery, which is the immoral and the unfaithful relationship of one partner in the marriage covenant. Here's how the Message Bible paraphrase puts it. It brings out the emotion, I think, quite well in this passage. God says, your beauty went to your head. You became a common whore, grabbing anyone coming down the street and taking him into your bed. God said they took all the clothes and the fine foods that he gave them, the wealth and the prosperity and the status as a powerful nation, and they served them as delicacies in their whorehouses. Israel's unfaithful acts were so bad that God says that they even paid their lovers for sex. Every norm was turned inside out. This beautiful yet tragic passage of Scripture shows the depths of God's feeling for the nation that he created from nothing and to make his own, his model nation to all the other nations. Israel's story did not end well. God brought other powerful nations, like the Assyrians and the Babylonians. He brought them against Israel to destroy and eventually remove them from the land. Yet through all the unfaithfulness, idolatry, the ultimate decline, God always held out a lifeline of hope based on his enduring love for the people who once held such promise. God said to Israel, I'll remember the covenant I made with you when you were young, and I'll make a new covenant with you that will last forever. You'll remember your past life and face the shame of it. It will leave you speechless. This final phrase, a new covenant that will last forever. It hasn't happened yet, and it won't occur till Jesus Christ returns to this earth and he sets up his kingdom which will last forever. At that time, God will set His hand among the people of the earth to establish righteousness and justice. Another remnant of Israel will make a return to the same land, but this time, Jesus Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pause to consider a little understood piece of the historical puzzle of this story. This modern Jewish state we've been talking about on the program today, called the State of Israel, it bears an ancient name, but it only represents a small part of the entire people called Israel, who once lived in the land and to whom so many of the Bible prophecies apply. As we've seen in the Bible, the nation of Israel refers to the 12 tribes who marched out of Egypt under Moses in the story of the Exodus. These 12 tribes were descended from the 12 sons of the patriarch Jacob, remember, whose name was changed to Israel by God. Now, here's what you should understand at this point. One of these sons was named Judah. His descendants were known as Jews. Jews today come from Judah. Judah, however, was only one of the sons. These 12 tribes formed the nation of Israel, which we read about in the Bible books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. And King David, he ruled over this nation from Jerusalem. His son Solomon built a magnificent temple in Jerusalem. The tribe of Judah, of the Jewish people, were only one part of the larger nation of Israel. You don't have to be Jewish to be an Israelite. But how did they become so prominent? And why do we only remember this one tribe, the tribe of Judah, the Jews, today? It's really a very good question, and it's an important one, and the Bible gives us the answer. The ancient nation of Israel existed for about 200 years before it fell captive to the Assyrian nation. Those people were removed from the land. They were scattered. They were lost in history. And they're known as the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. But they're not really lost, because you see, in the book of Revelation, that we read about them in the time just prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. God deals with peoples from those nations, and God knows their identity today. He knows where they reside among the world's nations today. The nation of Judah, however, survived longer than Israel, but eventually it too fell, and they fell to the Babylonian Empire. Most of the Jewish state was taken to Babylon. 70 years later, in fulfillment of a prophecy of the prophet Jeremiah, a group of Jews did return to Jerusalem. They rebuilt the city and the temple. A nation of Jews existed in Jerusalem with their distinctive culture until its collapse again in 70 AD at the hand of the Romans. And descendants of this Jewish state then founded today's state of Israel in the modern time in 1948. The modern state of Israel exists today to assure mankind of God's enduring faithfulness and His promises to all nations and to all races of mankind, to really all of us. The promise God made to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob involved both spiritual and physical promises. These promises, both spiritual and physical, will be poured out upon all the nations, to you and to me. To understand the state of Israel today is to understand God and His prophetic timeline. The nations that fight against Israel today, they're a tangible proof of mankind's fundamental removal of God from their knowledge. But again, God's grace and His enduring love transcends all of this story. Your Bible shows us that God's spiritual promises will be given to all. The promises of peace, of restoration, and of eternal life, which are the hope, really, of all peoples and all nations. We have to go to the book of Romans in the New Testament, where the Apostle Paul, he tells the story of ancient Israel's rise and fall and hope and restoration. Israel had a deep relationship with God. Their opportunity was to become a nation based on the law of God and His glory. We've already covered that. God made special promises to this people, setting them apart from all other nations and promising protection and prosperity. All the physical promises were a type of the spiritual promises found in Jesus Christ, who was a direct descendant of King David. But ancient Israel failed. And as we saw earlier, they split apart, and through a combination of idolatry and Sabbath breaking, they dishonored and they disobeyed God and that covenant. It resulted in their captivity and their exile. Most of Israel, with the exception of the Jews, forgot who they were. But Paul's desire, as he wrote the book of Romans, and his prayer for Israel, his people, all of Israel, was that they would be saved. Even though ancient Israel did not obey the gospel, and they didn't in Paul's day, their rejection is not total, nor is it permanent. God has not cast Israel aside. And through the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, God reveals there's a remnant of Israel among today's nations, and by His grace, they will be regathered. But here's the amazing and little understood truth. Israel's rejection of God works to His glory and purpose. All other nations and peoples, what the Bible calls the Gentiles, they've had an opportunity for this same relationship with God based on His eternal promises. In God's time, all will have opportunity to know Him. The Apostle Paul says that blindness has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. In a magnificent piece of writing, Paul is inspired to show that Israel, all the tribes, and all the world, ultimately, will have an opportunity for salvation. All nations will have an opportunity to receive the full promises of God, both the physical and the spiritual. Let's notice this in Romans chapter 11. Paul asks this question: Has God cast away His people? Speaking about Israel, that was the big question in Paul's mind. And he answers it: certainly not. God has not cast away His people whom He foreknew. He goes on to explain that by Israel being cast away, salvation is open to the world, to all nations, to all peoples. And by their being brought back into God's grace, all peoples for all time will have the opportunity to be saved. He says, the reconciling of the world. You see, all the tribes of Israel, not just the present Jewish state, will be united. And Paul says, all Israel will be saved, as He, meaning God, will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. When Israel is restored, the ruins of the house of David will be rebuilt. All mankind will seek the Lord. All nations who are called by His name will come to Jerusalem and learn of His ways. Jerusalem, the capital of the modern state of Israel, will one day become the capital of the world. So Israel matters. Not just the Jewish state in the Middle East today. All the tribes matter to God. And all the nations of the world matter to God. In one last burst of inspired enthusiasm, Paul exclaims, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out." The understanding of who is Israel is the key to understanding today's world and the march of history toward the kingdom of God. The understanding of Israel shows us the enduring promises of God's salvation for all the nations. Because He is faithful with Israel, He will be faithful in His promise through Christ to all peoples, including to you and to me. And that's the good news of the gospel. I have said throughout the program that to understand Israel is to understand God and His prophetic timeline. The state of Israel's existence, in spite of all the odds, is a sign that God controls the destiny of all nations. It is proof God watches over history and is guiding our world with all of its people today to His purpose. God watches over the nations, and the state of Israel is living proof. The nations of the world will plot and they'll rage against Israel and the Jews. But Israel will survive, and it will complete its God-ordained purpose. Remember this as you watch today's headlines. Now, as I've covered throughout today's program, the tiny state of Israel, from its very founding just 70 years ago, has played a significant role in world affairs, and it will continue doing so. In fact, Bible prophecy warns us that Israel will be the very epicenter of future dramatic, world-shaking affairs in the Middle East. As you hear and read about events occurring in that critical region of the world, you really need to understand their biblical and historical background. You can do this by ordering our free, eye-opening Bible study aid, The Middle East and Bible Prophecy. This important publication will help you clearly comprehend prophesied events and how they will affect your life. So please, don't put it off. Order your free copy today by calling us toll-free at 1-888-886-8632. Here's the number again, 1-888-886-8632. Our operators are available right now to take your call. Or you can go online at beyondtoday.tv or write to us at the address that is shown on your screen. And when you order your free study aid, you'll be pleased to receive also a free subscription to Beyond Today magazine. Each issue of Beyond Today contains well-researched articles on many biblical topics. These are all designed to spiritually strengthen you and your family and to help you better comprehend the Bible and the challenging times ahead for our world. Again, to order your free study aid, Middle East and Bible Prophecy, and your free subscription to Beyond Today magazine, call this number, 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv to read or to download them. Israel at 70 is a marker. Jews returned from Babylon after 70 years of captivity. And God's enduring love for Israel shows us unending faithfulness of God for all nations. In a world of turmoil and uncertainty, this is a crucial spiritual key. To understand Israel is to understand God and His prophetic timeline. Only in the Bible do we find the divine purpose for Israel's existence. God had a purpose for Israel then, and God has a purpose for Israel today. To understand Israel is to understand the grace of God. Thanks for watching today's program, and remember to join us in praying, Thy Kingdom Come. For Beyond Today, I'm Darris McNeely.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv.